For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
To WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz joining us every Tuesday at 4 o'clock. Jordan Mailata. Jordan's call brought to you by Colonial Hyundai. Shop online 24/7, colonialhyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the faster, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. Jordan, thanks for joining us today.
Hey guys, how you guys doing?
What's up, big man? How you feeling?
A little sore, a little tender.
So yeah, listen, I don't know what the exact extent of your injury is.
Right.
I'm going to ask you to disclose it, but is there are you looking at a long time being away, or you're trying to get back here as soon as possible?
Man, you know I'm always going to want to come back as fast as I can and as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
What I can say is, you know, it's a hammy injury and going to miss a couple games. And, yeah, it's really my first hamstring injury. I don't really know. I'm just trusting, you know, the team right now and whatever the direction that we go forward with.
Well, let me just say this. It speaks to your athleticism. I mean, big men don't usually get hamstring injuries, man. I'm just saying. For you to have a hamstring injury, that shows how athletic you are.
Mate, you saw me moving on that blocked field goal. You saw me moving now, 18.3 miles per hour. I was moving.
Well, you know, one more question to that. So I have, you know, I had hip surgery a year ago. And when I'm trying to get around the house, you know, I'm 150 pounds. My wife can help me. You are a big person, man. So who is helping you around the house when you're having trouble walking?
The walking's gotten a lot better.
Okay.
I'll say that.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but my wife is helping me with my pacing.
Okay.
I'm taking too big of a step, you know, taking my time, getting around.
I was going to say, yeah, she's got to be strong, man. She's got to lift some weights.
Too strong, man.
Yeah.
Too strong.
So, well, good luck, and you know the team is not the same without you out there. So we're wishing you the best.
Speedy recovery,
speedy
brother.
Recovery.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
So I don't know if you've heard, but there has been a lot of conversation around your head coach over the last couple of days. Could you give some context from your perspective on Nick? Also, I guess sort of the stuff that went on publicly on Sunday.
That's Nick, you know. We asked Nick to be himself, you know, whatever that looked like. And, yeah, that stuff on Sunday, that's just him. But I love his passion. I love his fire. We get motivated by that. We just wanted him to be himself because he preaches to us to be ourselves. And, you know, we just wanted it to be a two-way street. And so, you know, that's what that was. You know, he's always going to be like, he's always been like that. He's like that at training. He's like that in the meetings. Like, he's animated. He's an animated coach. And, you know, I saw he apologized for his actions and, you know, it's not a good look. When he came out and said it, but, you know, we're comfortable and we know that's just him.
The irony about the criticism of Nick is that he is probably more like Philadelphia fans than any coach that has ever coached here. So I think sometimes we see ourselves in him, you know?
Yeah. Man, he means well. That's the thing. He means well. And like you just said, I think he's more Philadelphian than people expect him to be. He's just embraced. He's embraced the city. He's embraced the fan base. I love the guy, man. So I know it's some fans and some of the guys in the media don't like it, but man, that's just him, and you know we got his back.
Let me ask you this: when I heard Brandon talk about kind of reiterating that to Coach Sirianni about just be yourself, you know, want you to be the 2022 Nick Sirianni, the coach that he was then. Jalen mentioned that in this press conference, and you just mentioned that. I wonder, do you think he Was it noticeable that he hadn't been sort of himself? Like, you had, I mean, you've been with him since he got here as a coach. Did it seem like that was the case prior to, I guess, the bye week and coming going into the bye week? Did it feel like he hadn't really been himself on the sidelines or, I guess, behind the scenes with you guys?
Yeah, I would say that. I think that's a fair assessment on my bit, you know, through my lens.
Okay,
he hadn't been himself. You know, he was. The juice wasn't the, you know, just it, he was bringing juice, but it just, you know, didn't feel the same, and so that's why we had that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need him to just be him, just be free. Now, you know, we can't control how Nick does it.
Right, but, you know, right.
That's up to him. But again, we understand whatever he does, that's him. That's him being him, and we love that.
Yeah. Jordan, from a on to football, the offense has had trouble getting off to good starts. You know, we've been very public that you guys haven't scored in the first quarter, and then even when it does get going, I guess it the best way to describe it is it doesn't seem like when we're watching there is a consistent rhythm to you guys moving the ball. So is there something that you think is causing both of those things? A, the slow starts, and then B, that rhythm that I'm talking about.
I mean, the slow starts, every game is different. Every situation is different. And, you know, we look back at the slow start from the last game. You know, we snap the ball, Cam snaps the ball above Jalen's head, you know, and that's just something that we can control. Now, it's all about, are we controlling the things we can't control and executing? And, you know, I've come on here and I've said, you know, this is, I might sound like a broken record player, but it's the truth. You know, the execution is key to the starts, and we just aren't executing on the first drive. And, you know, that's why we see first, second, third drives, they're not, you know, we're not moving the ball efficiently, and then we get going. Now, this game was a little different from a Cleveland defensive perspective, because we knew that they knew they also have Deuce Staley, Coach Roy Estevan, who had been with us since 2019. He was our assistant offensive line coach, and they knew how to stop the run game, to stop pass protections, out calls, and so we're kind of going in there trying to figure out what they knew the first couple drives. And I think that kind of helped us, you know, start, you know, building, you know, efficient drives together later in the game.
Mm-hmm. Well, these guys certainly started moving the ball there. And the thing, I guess, that I noticed and was somewhat impressed with was that even though you weren't having that success on those early drives, it didn't seem like it took you guys out of what you wanted to do in the game. You stuck with the run, and if it meant you were getting 3 yards here, 4 yards there, you didn't abandon the run. You stuck with it. So I think that says something when you got an idea of what you want to do going into a game. And even though it may not be successful early, you know, believing in that and sticking with it, I think it started opening the offense up for you to move the ball right before the half, that second quarter, and a little bit in that third quarter.
Yeah, I agree. We look back at the game, we did some great things. We did some great things, and Kellen did a great job at play calling and, you know, again, like you said, sticking with the runs, whether it be a 3 yard gain, 2 yard gain, 4 yard gain. We stuck with it, and, you know, that helped open up the passing game. And, yeah, again, these are just things, building blocks that we can build off of this win. Just look back at all the good stuff that we did. Because we did a ton of good things, man, from an offensive perspective. So, and Jalen played a heck of a game, and you know, he did some amazing checks at the line, you know, during the game in different situations, and he really took control of the game.
Jordan Mailata with us, who's with us every Tuesday at 4. Jordan, so Fred Johnson first fills in for Lane when Lane goes out, and now he's going to play for you. Can you explain how difficult it is to be able to play both tackle spots within the same season and how different playing left versus right tackle is?
I'll tell you what. It's super hard playing both, being a swing tackle. I think just the, from a body mechanic perspective, it's really hard. You know, just I've used that analogy of, you know, it's like wiping your behind with your non-dominant hand.
I'm really good at that, actually. Yeah.
Right? I don't believe that. I don't believe that one bit. but the beauty about Fred filling in at left tackle is he is a left tackle by nature. He prefers the left side.
Okay.
But he's such a great teammate that, you know, he understands his role. His role is that backup swing tackle, so he will gladly fill in at right tackle because he wants to play. He wants to play football, and I'm excited for Fred to get this opportunity to showcase, you know, that he is a dominant tackle in this league. Mm-hmm. So Fred's going to be just fine at left tackle. He is a left tackle by nature, and I'm excited for him.
One final one for me, Jordan. As a player yourself, and I guess I would have to ask you to speak for your teammates as best you could in this situation. How do you block out all the stuff that's on the outside and sort of try to focus on that singular goal of you get better each week, you try to stack wins, but you got to sort of remain in that one week at a time. It's difficult to look ahead and worry about what's down the road. How do you guys sort of stay locked in and focused on that? You just won a game. You want to build off of that going into next week. How do you not allow the outside noise to become a distraction for you all?
Well, one, we understand the goal. And two, we continue to be present. And what that is, it's just being in the moment. When you're in the building, be in the building. If you're in a meeting, be in the meeting. Understand the game plan for that week. And I think we truly came back from that bye week and we understood, you know, that's what the goal is. Be hungry, be humble is what coach keeps saying. And so the whole be hungry, be humble, you also have to be present. You know, you don't just be a body in the room. And you know, I think all the guys understood that coming into last week's game. And, you know, that's something that we're building off now. So that's just how we block out the noise, man. You got to realize that everyone's entitled to an opinion. But would you take advice off that person? Are they in this room right now with you? Are they experiencing what you're experiencing? Have they gone through the trials and tribulations that you've gone through to play the sport or to play the next snap? And so, you know, my advice to the guys is just be present.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jordan,
just be present.
Well, Jordan, we hope you get better soon, and mm-hmm. good luck with that whole wiping thing. Sounds like you're having problems there.
I ain't wiping with my non-dominant hand no more, boys.
Yeah. If you need a YouTube video instructions, you just let us know.
Oh,
we'll hook you
God.
Up. All right, Jordan. Thank you, man.
Appreciate it, brother.
There he is, Jordan Mailata. But it was actually right before the interview. I'm like, who the hell is helping him? He's 8 feet tall, 350 pounds, you
hey,
know?
Man, that's where the wife comes in, yeah. man. That's unconditional love.
Dude, so the night I had hip replacement surgery, mm-hmm. so they send you home same day.
Oh, wow, really?
Same day. So I had hip surgery in the morning, but I was having this problem. But they do a nerve thing in your spine where you can't feel underneath your waist for a while. And it slowly comes back, but they won't let you leave the hospital until you pee. Because I guess something can go wrong or whatever. So I was nauseous and we were there an extra 7 hours or something because I wouldn't pee. So we finally get home and I am miserable. I'm refusing to take the pain medicine because I didn't want to take, I didn't want to take narcotics or anything.
Right.
So I'm laying on the couch yelling. Ah!
Oh my God.
She looks at me and she's like, take the medicine.
Yeah, I'm shoving it down your mouth now. Yes.
She wasn't going to help me into the other room. She wasn't going to help me upstairs. She'd take the Oxycontin and shut up. To be clear, I am not a fun person. I was the least fun I had ever been that night.
Sure, man. Hip surgery.
Oh,
I can imagine
it's
no fun.
It's terrible. I'm thrown up in a bag in quiet room at the hospital. It's horrible. So, all right. So the newspaper.
And I know you're like a. You seem like you're when you're sick.
Oh, I'm the worst.
Yes, you seem like one of those
guys.
You
let everyone know.
Yes, you're dying over there.
Dude, I had the flu for the first time about 5 years ago. And I
first
never had,
time.
Well, the real flu.
Well, I think you were patient zero of the old pandemic.
No, this was before the pandemic.
I don't know, man. I had something. You were out for like a week.
They tested me, man. They gave me the flu test.
Well, this is before we even knew what COVID was.
It wasn't COVID.
You were patient zero.
Anyway, it might have been patient zero. I did spend about 2 weeks in China previous to this, so it might have been. So I get the flu. I'm shivering. I have the sweats, all that kind of stuff. I'm laying on the bed with a jacket on, but also sweating.
It's all sweating. Yep.
And I look at her and I said, I think I might die. And she said, you're not going to die. And I said, Val, I've never felt like this. I think I'm going to die. She said, what do you want me to do? I said, please take me to the hospital. So we go to the ER and the doctor's like, you have the flu.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, take two of these.
Yeah, he said, I'm going to give this medicine. We're only supposed to give it to people who are, there's not enough, I guess, of the flu medicine to give it to people who aren't really old or really young or something. But I was such an extraordinary baby. He gave me the medicine just to shut me up.
Of course he did.
Of course.
Yeah. So, you know, the newspaper reporter has been number one in Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings for weeks now. Against our, you know, well, no, we had one week of Elliot, one sympathy vote.
Yes. But that didn't count.
He continues to press on. So this is from the Odyssey podcast. What's it called?
Uncovering the Birds.
Uncovering the Birds. Here is the newspaper reporter with yet another scoop.
For as loud as the critical voices were outside the Eagles, I found a similar sentiment within the organization. Embarrassing is how two team officials labeled it to me when asked specifically for their reactions to Sirianni's behavior. The two sources each voiced their support of the head coach and said they understood how toxic fans can be at times.
There you go.
Wow.
Embarrassing, but also that we're toxic.
So. Yeah, right?
I've news for
you. That last part there, was that necessary?
Yeah. What I tell you, if you scored 40 points, it wouldn't have been so toxic. It would be very easy to make us not toxic anymore.
Well, to two people saying that it's embarrassing, I'm pretty sure people felt that was embarrassing.
Yes, yeah.
Including the boss in his suite.
Yes.
Watching that.
We don't know who the two people were, but I can't imagine anybody in the building wasn't like. So, but those are points in newspaper reporters' news favor.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
T in Overbrook, you're on WIP. What's up, T?
Hi. I was calling about the topic at hand about Nick Sirianni.
Yes.
And Nick Sirianni doesn't have to win me over because I'm not mad at him. Huh. I feel like we blow things out of proportion. We still don't know what he said, right? Do we know what was said on the sideline?
Do we know don't. If it was, we got one report.
Honestly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know if everybody believes the fan who said that's who he was talking
to. So one fan said on Reddit, and then that fan came on the air here, said that he was yelling at Nick to run the ball, and then Nick assured him, wait, and then at the end of the game, he came over and he said, see, I told you so. Nick's body language sort of
looked like it might have been different.
Yeah, if that's what he said it in a certain kind of way. But we don't know for sure what Nick said.
Yeah,
right. And we're looking for a reason not to believe that caller, right? And we're also it was someone else that called in on you guys' show, and he said I was there. They were pretty harsh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you know, I can understand maybe that he just maybe made a mistake. But this started from last season. You know, the fan base lost respect for Nick. And he didn't start off with a clean slate this season. So every little thing he does, everyone blows up. But from this particular situation, there have been so many players that have, spoken about having his back.
Yeah.
Like we Spike, I heard you do it just now. Oh, they said he's not. That doesn't mean he's a good coach. But I think they have said that he's a good coach. Brandon Graham, Darius Slay on, Michael Parsons' podcast. just so many different players. Even Jalen. And, he wasn't speaking.
No, he ain't going to say nothing. Off. Exactly.
Well, I think right. Jalen so might be happy.
Yeah, right. Well, and that's another part. I feel like they may be able, they feel for him because they have been under the same scrutiny. And I'm not saying it's right, nor do I think that this is something that should be normalized. But we're talking about this. We're not talking about Cooper DeJean. We're not talking about full Batman coming back. We're not talking about the Slim Reaper.
Mm-hmm.
We're not
classic WIP.
And what if they're listening? You remember the controversy with AJ where he's like, you know, the
oh, yeah, we remember.
Yeah,
I don't
remember too. I was so hyped when he called in. So, a couple.
Jack is still recovering from that phone call. Yeah,
no ovations and no AJ Brown trade.
I think you make a lot of good points, but two things I'll say to what you said. The first thing is I can put myself in his situation as well and understand why he did it. But just like when Brian Colangelo's wife was defending her husband on Twitter with burner accounts, I could understand that too. Still not the right thing to do. So whether he, and it, by the way, not just with the, not just the thing with the fan, but the press conference afterwards was a very, very strange press conference. But I understand how he feels. I understand the situation he's in. I understand why he might want to act that way. But he, as the leader and representative of the team, has to be better about that. But but to your point about we're not talking about all these good things that happened, that's his fault. You know, that is on him for creating that, for creating a situation where this is what we're talking about and not talking about A.J. Brown's great game, which we talked about some yesterday. But unfortunately, the big story coming out of this was him, and that's on him. And then the last thing I would say is it is absolutely meaningful that the coaches say they have his back and they think he's a good coach. But
you mean the players?
The players.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that he is. So it counts. It's part of it. But just like he would get credit as Super Bowl head coach when they went to the Super Bowl, he gets blame when they collapse and they don't play well. So, but overall, I agree that people are looking for reasons. I don't think that's Nick's fault. I think that's the organization's fault overall. I agree with you in that. But I also, I hesitate to say just because the players have his back means that he's a good coach. You know, a lot of the players had Doc Rivers back, and I think he's a horrible coach. So you know, he will be judged on his job performance, not what they say, though I think what they say is meaningful.
Can I make one more point?
Yes.
I think Rios would appreciate his shaven head.
Yes. I agree with you on that one, mm-hmm. T. I agree with you on that one. Thank you for the call. So coming up next, you know, we've done a lot of talking about being upset with our team. But there is a team in the NFC East, down south, and things are not going so well this year, which, by the way, you could have seen from 100 miles away. Things got worse today, I think, for the Dallas Cowboys.
All right, well, that's a positive.
Jared, we are going to play some audio from you.
There we go.
That is honestly stunning. And if we didn't have the Eagles, I would have wanted to spend our entire 4 hours breaking down this audio of Jerry Jones. It is unforgettable. I can't wait to play it for you. That is next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Thank you to Jordan Mailata for joining us. Jordan said that he'll be out a couple of games. Sounded sort of vague, but that's what he said. If you missed the interview with Jordan Mailata, it was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
You can use the rewind function on your Odyssey app and go back. It was at 4 o'clock. Go back within 24 hours. Or just subscribe to the WIP Afternoon Show podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And then once you do that, it's all you have to listen to for the rest of the day is WIP Afternoon Show, just over and over and over again before you go to bed. So we have a radio station in Dallas, Odyssey, our parent company does. Mm-hmm. It is The Fan in Dallas. And Jerry Jones, as he has for a number of years, does a weekly call-in to the morning show, Shannon RJ. So Jerry Jones, I almost think this 2 minutes, the full 2 minutes is worth playing. What do we have? Minute 20. So this was an exchange today with Jerry Jones that was truly outrageous and is absolutely worth your time. And as you're listening to it, I just want you to imagine Jeff Lurie or something calling into our show and then it going this way. It's just not how you would expect. All right, go ahead. All right, go ahead.
There was a lot of criticism that you guys didn't add, didn't spend, and don't add, and don't spend, or, and are not aggressive enough with some of the problems that are still haunting the Cowboys today that we see play out on the field.
Oh, I remember those criticisms very well. Okay, so what?
Are they playing out be accurate?
What's your point?
My point is, it seems like...
Let me tell you what I'll do. Let me tell you what I'll do about it. I'll look at it. Now, if you think I'm interested in on a damn phone call with you over a radio and sitting here and throwing all the good out with the dishwater, you have got to be smoking something over there this morning. I'm not. And I really don't, and I don't even want our listeners to listen to me, to talk about, this is not your job. Your job isn't to let me go over all the reasons that I did something and I'm sorry that I did it. That's not your job.
Well, my job is to ask
get
why.
A job, or I'll get another. I'll get somebody else to ask these questions, man.
Jerry, we're trying to figure out why the team is.
I'm not kidding. You're not going to figure out what the team is doing right or wrong.
What Jerry explained is exactly their job. That he said is not their job. It's not your job to go over the moves and decide whether they're good or bad. Yeah. It's exactly,
why would a sports talk radio host do that?
Yeah. And honestly, the line about that he'll get someone else to do it, mm-hmm, as if he's running the radio station is outrageous. I mean, I just can't even imagine that happening. It's such a wild comment.
Yeah, I mean, listen, but he's that type of owner, and he may be delusional in his thinking, but he certainly feels like he has the power to will these type of things, and obviously he would have an issue with the station. And are you putting the station in a predicament where they are basically taking their whole host and telling them not to ask you certain questions, or they're taking Jerry Jones off of that show? I don't think he has the ability to fire those guys.
No, he does not.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? That I would just open up the next one and go, all right, Jerry, you guys lost 49-7. Let's go over the good stuff you did. There was a play in the middle of the second quarter. It was a 6-yard run off tackle. Tell us what happened there.
Well, and that's why I would, thank God, that Jeffrey Lurie does not want to do radio interviews and isn't calling in every week to break down what happened in the game the day before. As a host, I wouldn't want to be in that position where I got to ask the owner difficult questions.
Yeah.
And with a guy like Jerry Jones, you know he may fly off the handle on any day.
I'm not going to sit here and listen to you guys tell us everything that we've done wrong.
Right.
Well, I got news for you, buddy. This is the Dallas Cowboys. People care when things are going wrong. What a moment. Can you imagine us all looking at each other if that happened here? You know?
I just wonder how we would handle it in the moment. Like, what do you do? You don't want to be combative with the owner.
No, and I thought they handled it as well as you can handle
it. Yeah.
You know, but they were said, look, Jerry, we have to ask you the questions of what's going on with the football team.
You can't sit here and pants us on the air either, Jerry. My goodness.
Yeah. You put them in a bad spot, too. I thought they handled it well.
It seems like things in Dallas are not going very well.
No.
I know things seem bad here. Yeah. It could be worse.
Yeah. What's going on? I mean, this is going to be when whatever this core is that they've continued to play with for the last several years.
You mean the Cowboys?
The Cowboys core. Yeah. It's just.
Well, now they re-signed everybody.
Oh, yeah.
They signed back up for it.
You think he's pumped to give Dak $65 million a year?
This is why he wasn't in a rush to do it.
No.
Yes.
But then why'd he do it? He was right.
Because he got pressured.
Yeah, well, pressure this. You're Jerry Jones.
No, I hear you. But when you got your fan base. Because here's what would happen, Jack. Let's say they played the exact same way right now and hadn't signed Dak.
Oh, yeah.
So part of the narrative would be, well, Jerry Jones, you've created a distraction.
By not signing
your franchise quarterback. and letting him be a lame duck along with the lame duck head coach. So he would have had to have the fortitude to be able to withstand all of this heat and stick to his guns. To not sign Dak.
What's funny about it is he waited for Dak and CeeDee Lamb. He waited for all the other players to sign their deals, so he literally had to pay them more than everybody else got paid.
Exactly.
So he played hardball, and then he eventually gave in, paid them the most he could pay them. The season is falling apart, and he's going to do this morning show interview every week and hear about his moves, which are not working out, you know. What a great moment.
Yeah, what 47-9. Whew.
Yeah, that's an ass whooping.
Yeah.
What is, so here's the, not to make this about the Cowboys, but I'm just wondering.
Yeah, let's revel in there.
So is it, yeah, really. Yeah. Is it all about the Derrick Henry move? Not signing Derrick Henry? Because what else could they be talking about?
I don't know. You know,
what did they want him to do this offseason? It has to be because he didn't get Derrick Henry.
They are upset about that.
But I mean, you got good receivers. He couldn't go out and get another wide receiver.
Yeah, maybe they feel like they're deficient defensively. I don't know. Like, they let Tyron Smith go, but I think he was cooked anyway.
Well, right.
And that's the weird thing about doing – let's put aside for a fact that he's the owner. Mm-hmm. Let's just address him as a general manager at this point. It's the weird thing about doing a weekly call with the general manager, because he's not the one who is deciding what they do on the field every week.
Right.
All he really has is the moves that he's made, and you can only ask him if you want his reasoning,
yeah.
You can only ask him about the same reason we don't ask Jordan Mailata about the defensive secondary.
Moves. Yeah, exactly. Or yes. Or yeah. Yes.
No, or don't ask him about signings. Or yep. We ask him about his job. Well, yep. Jerry Jones's job is, at this point in this situation, is a general manager of the team.
It's personnel.
Yeah, so they have to ask
him.
Yeah,
what else they going to ask you about, Jerry? The running game?
Yeah. Well, his ego is so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Maybe they're mad that he brought back Mike McCarthy. View that as a waste.
Yeah. I don't think anybody would be arguing that.
I mean, they got pants in a playoff game at home to the Packers, and they're like, you know what? Now, hopefully it doesn't happen with the baseball team. Just, you know, kind of run it back. But, you know, it's basically run it back and hope something changes.
Speaking of,
you know what you call that, Spike?
What do you call it?
The definition of insanity.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. Control your own destiny.
The Twitter, that's wrong too. The Twitter question is sponsored by Marsh Jewelers. Our football team is chasing a championship ring. Make her feel like a world champion every day with a ring from Marks. Online at marks-jewelers.com. Might have to pause the football team is chasing a championship ring until they win one game by double digits.
By the way, I'm happy they didn't get Derrick Henry.
Yeah. Yes.
Turns out he's pretty good.
Yes. Yeah. Turns out he still has something left.
The question, do you expect the Phillies will run it back for next season, or do you believe there will be significant changes? 54% saying that they will run it back. 215-592-9494. Chris in Barrington, you're on WIP. What's up, Chris?
Yo, what's up, guys? Always a pleasure calling in.
What up, Chris?
What's going on? Last time I called in, I kind of referenced to Ike, you know, what's it like playing in the city with all the pressure? Mm-hmm. But now I have another question.
Okay.
Who was the bad guy in the locker room that held players accountable for their actions after the games?
Oh, when I played here?
Yes, sir.
Oh, man, I don't know. I don't think we had someone who held players accountable. First of all, last 5 years here, we averaged losing like three or four games a year. So we didn't do a whole lot of losing.
Right.
We won a lot of games.
Not for nothing.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I want to throw that in there. Yeah, throw that in
well,
there.
Well, I guess who were the people when you guys started 0-2 and 0-3 that I guess maybe could have turned that around?
I think your leaders. I think you had your Deuce Staley's. You had your Jeremiah Trotters, your Brian Dawkins. At that time, we still had Troy Vincent still on the team. I'll say while Troy was here, Troy was like the voice in the locker room, but Troy led differently. He led from a cerebral standpoint. He wasn't an overly animated guy as well, but he was vocal. He didn't have a problem speaking up. He spoke with purpose, so you had guys like that. I'm trying to think of who else. We had Trey Thomas. You had, hell, Bubba Miller was there. See, I was two different eras of leadership. Guys that were here when I first got here, and then guys once we became a good team, you know, guys like myself, you know, we we didn't have a problem holding each other accountable because, quite frankly, you didn't have to do a lot of that. We didn't have to do a lot of policing the locker room because a bunch of issues arised every week or what have you.
Well, I think a lot of that or a good portion of that would also come from Andy, I would say,
No doubt about it.
Because Andy was the coach that players loved, but also a hard ass that would keep everyone.
That was a nice, healthy amount of fear there as well.
Yeah.
For the big fella. And you got to think about it this way. You had Andy for the overall head coach and the offense, and then you had Jim Johnson for the defense.
A lot of accountability.
Yeah, right? So it was almost like it was enough people in place that the culture was what you wanted it to be from an accountability standpoint.
And we have certainly drifted away from that culture with this new generation of product that the Eagles are displaying in front of our very eyes.
Yeah, it almost, I'll tell you this, Chris, we may be a victim. And this goes back to even when Doug was here, because Doug was great that year in 17, things went well. But when things didn't go well, I'm not so sure how much Doug had a hold of the locker room. It's been a lot more player-driven around here the last 5, 6, 7 years. And a lot of it has been good, but also players, every player doesn't necessarily know how to lead a team. And you almost have to have somebody from the top, meaning from a head coaching position, that sort of sets the tone. Like Patrick Mahomes can be a leader in Kansas City, Chris Jones can be a leader, but Andy Reid sets the tone in Kansas City. Mike Tomlin sets the tone in Pittsburgh. John Harbaugh sets the tone in Baltimore.
Dan Campbell.
Dan Campbell sets the tone in Detroit. So you have soldiers, players, i.e., that follow that sort of leadership and culture. So, and you got the backing of the head coach. So it's easier to keep players sort of on a straight and narrow.
Okay. Well, who would you say is that person or coach currently doing just that?
For us?
Yes.
Well, Nick is the coach that's doing it for us, whether we like it or agree with it or not. He's the coach because the other coaches are new to the staff, most of them.
Right.
So it's mainly Nick.
Thank you for the call, Chris.
And then there's Jalen on the offense. And here's where we'll get into where Jalen needs to be in the right place mentally when it comes to leading in order to be an effective leader.
It's also...
It can't just be you give the speech and
after
talk.
The thing.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. It can't just be that.
Well, actually, we'll get that in a second. We might need to replace our coach here. Might need to replace a bunch of things, just like you need to replace your old drafty windows, you fool. I can't believe you've waited so long. Now we're like a month away from it getting cold. It's actually chilly the last couple of days, and your old drafty windows are showing that they need to be replaced. Well, Guida Door and Window is going to make it easier. They got a sale for you, make it more affordable. Buy one, get one half off. Goes for doors, goes for windows. Very simple. You buy two doors, the next two, whether it's doors or windows, are 50% off. You buy 10, then the next 10, 50% off. You replace everything in your home, half of your home, 50% off. Also making it more affordable by letting you start everything with no money down. Also letting you do it interest-free financing up to 18 months. I warn you, though, it's not going to last forever. Limited time only. There are restrictions. So call 877-GO-GUIDA, schedule a free no-obligation in-home estimate, or visit them at goguida.com. That's goguida.com. So you mentioned head coach as sort of setting, and you mentioned Jalen as a foot soldier or whatever, as somebody who's a leader within the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
That is another sort of, let's forget about their relationship, mm-hmm. but their styles are so different that who is, like, what personality does the team resemble or take, because the two guys doing it, if we say that those two are the leaders at this point, Jalen and Nick, they're so different. You know, what Nick did yesterday is essentially the opposite of what Jalen would ever do.
Me? Yes. You know? Yeah, I could. I'd be shocked if I ever seen Jalen do that.
Yeah. So I think it's not that the
it's taking on Nick's personality.
The team.
Yes.
Yes. I think if you were to hear the players talk publicly, the way they sort of, even the way that, you know, BG was standing next to Nick before he went to yell at the yes. fans, and he was laughing. You know, I don't know what other players were there, but I do think that they have, and I wonder. If they do take on Nick's personality, how Jalen resolves that and how he fits himself into a culture that is foreign to how he would normally act.
Right.
You know?
It's interesting. It's a good question. I think Jalen has sort of tried to navigate how does he stay in his box where he can be the best version of himself, but also make himself a part of the team.
Right.
Like he's often had that sort of back and forth sort of balancing act as a leader on the team.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can think of any place you've ever, or I can think of any place I've ever worked, or I even remember being this guy. There are people who work somewhere that everybody sort of likes, but maybe doesn't go out with everybody, doesn't go to happy hour.
Right.
Nobody knows what they do when they go home.
Right.
You know, that sort of person. Yeah. And it's...
Joe comes out sometimes.
Who's my man? Me!
Well, that dude right there for sure. Yeah. The camera. We don't know what he does.
Well, I think it would be hard for that person at that office to be a culture setter.
Yes.
If the culture is X and they are Y, even if they're well liked,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean?
Yep.
It's difficult.
It is.
Chris in Pensauken, you're on WIP. What's up, Chris?
What's up, guys?
What up, Chris?
Yeah, same old good stuff. I got to talk about Cooper DeJean. Let me tell you something. And I love ESPN. I'm just picking on him. But he came out and I don't like the pick. I don't like this. Blah blah blah. He's a safety. That kid, we all can see it, but like you played at the highest level.
Mm-hmm.
There's some guys you just look at, you go, that's an NFL player.
He's a baller. Yep.
Besides that shoulder shrug where he could have got a safety,
mm-hmm.
I think he had a little bit of the butterflies. I don't care how good you are. I mean, like when you ran out there for the first time.
I agree with you. Yep.
Your legs were probably shaking off. Yep. Okay, I thought I was the man, but 70,000 crazy Philly fans here chanting. I'm like, I better make a play.
Yep.
I just look at the future spike, and it's weird because I was never. You never look at those tight positions as the structure of the total foundation of a team, especially in our city, because we're D line and offense line. This is the first time, Spike, that I can say, not 5 years from now, next year, win, lose, or draw, whatever Jalen is. I don't even know what Jalen is, man. That's just a different cat. I don't know if we can win with him or we can't. I don't have a lot of time. But you look at our defensive backfield. You got, did you see Ringo lay that
stick on that
dude?
Mm-hmm.
You got, that kid's 21 years old. He's 6'1", 210, and runs a 4.3 40, and his parents were an Olympic athlete. And he's sitting on your bench. You got DeJean Cooper. You got Mitchell. If CJ Goofy DJ, whatever he calls his name, would just get out of the way, he would have 3 INTs already. And then you got Brown sitting back there. So, CJ, you're probably going to be gone after next year.
Yep.
We are so stacked in the back. They're in the top five next year. Just play those young dudes. And if I could trade Big Bad Slade, Captain Slade, right now for a fifth-round draft pick, I'd do it. I'd put the young kid in because I don't think you'd miss a beat or you'd lose a game because we don't have him. But get on with Nick. I ride with him, Spike, because know what Nick is to me? Like an Ike. But Ike's quiet and he's cool. Like I said, it's your cool de la, man. You're the city of Philadelphia. You're the voice of reason.
Now I'm awake!
Now Nick's a little different. He has no governor, which I love because I don't have no governor. I tell people, man, hey, I'm proud and loud. You don't like it? Don't talk to me. If you're going to talk to me, step to me and let's get it on like Donkey Kong. And I'm a 56-year-old guy that's all jacked up. I'm little, but I'm ripped. That dude right there, if you got in a fight, Spike, get his ass kicked with you.
Yeah,
Well, that's for sure.
Yeah.
He's a fox old guy.
Half your radio station, I love your guys on there. Hey, Spike, if you're getting your ass kicked, they call the cops, but they wouldn't jump. Ike would.
Yeah, I'd jump in with you.
Would.
Yeah.
You think Joe DeCamera's going to jump in if you're getting your ass kicked, Spike? He's running like a scared dog.
Joe's got my back in different ways. He would document the entire thing.
He's calling the police.
Yeah, he would. I agree, Chris, on Nick. I just don't know that that always makes the best leader of the team.
Yes.
You know, being a Foxhole guy and a guy that you can count on in that way is different than the guy who is setting. He is the sole representative of the team in a lot of ways. You know, Howie doesn't talk all the time. Jeff doesn't talk all the time. It's Nick. And I can see why they were annoyed with it. Look, this team wins three games in a row and the offense is clicking. I don't know that people will become Nick people, but I do think that this will quiet down. But we just haven't seen that.
I'll tell you, I like to compare Nick and Dan Campbell a lot. They came in the same year. But you really can't see the difference in the two, you know, and Dan doesn't call plays, but you can see the difference in the two and how they lead. You know, Dan has the former player in his card, in his back pocket, and no offense to Division II, Division III, Jack. Dan Campbell played in the league, and there is a certain level of belief from his players. He's been there. But then there's also it's more than that to me. It's how he leads. So he's had a chance to coach under some pretty good coaches as well. And although he can be emotional at times and get out there and be a little quirky, he knows where that line is and doesn't go over that line.
It actually seems like a lot of what we talk about with Dan Campbell is his first press conference 3 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, there's not a ton of Dan Campbell stuff every week where you're like, what the hell is
exactly.
Dan Campbell doing? You know,
besides his fourth down decision sometimes.
He can get real excited with the fourth down stuff, but.
But I just mean, this vision we have of him, I think, comes from the biting the knees or ankles or whatever.
That's where it started at.
Yeah, it was 3 years ago,
four years ago. Boy, that training camp was, I mean, he does push-ups and everything.
Yeah.
So he does.
Well, I'm glad he's staying in shape.
Yeah.
So everyone's favorite portion of the WIP afternoon show is the top 5 of 5 is next. Jack, what do we have to expect today from the top 5 of 5?
Relatable content.
Relatable content.
I don't even know what the hell that means.
No, I had a situation with.
Well, don't blow it.
Well, I don't know what to tell you.
Leave the tease.
All right, it's a fun one that I think everyone out there can relate to.
All right.
Okay.
That's what relatable content means. Okay.
All right.
Hungry, humble.
Okay. Jack's just in there biting his lip all show long. All right. That is next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.